The gospel lesson from the 14th chapter of the book of Mark. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him, for they said, "Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people." And while he was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was this ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me." She has done what she could. She has anointed my body before its burial. And truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God. On October 21st, 1967, the National Mobilization Committee to End the War in Vietnam held its March on Washington, which took protesters from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial to the parking lot of the Pentagon. There, Washington Evening Star photographer Bernie Boston captured a photo of protester George Harris placing a single carnation flower into the barrel of an M14 rifle held in the hands of a soldier from the 503rd Military Police Battalion. The photograph was titled "Flower Power," earning a Pulitzer Prize nomination and becoming one of the most iconic images of the Vietnam War era. And in that small, simple, yet powerful image, the whole world could see the flower of life blossoming even in the barrel of death, and the beauty and gentleness of a gesture of peace transfiguring all of the ugliness and heaviness of a weapon of war. Just a flower, yet so much more than a flower. Just a simple gesture, the image of which will never be forgotten. We are in the last week of Jesus' life. Just 2 days before the Passover, Scripture says, Jesus is gathered with his friends in a little town called Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem. He is having dinner with his disciples and friends and other guests. A woman comes in with an alabaster jar full of very costly ointment made from spikenard, a spiky, sepaled Aramaic flower known for millennia for its strong, perfumed fragrance. The woman is unnamed in the text. That makes me wonder if the disciples knew her or if she was simply a woman off of the streets. Some traditions say she was woman of the streets, and that is why she had all of the perfume, wares of the trade, some might say. In any case, it was obvious that this woman had come to be with Jesus in what everyone understood was a very tense and fateful time for him, though just how fateful, few really knew. This woman, however, apparently she knew full well. And taking her alabaster jar of perfume out of her clutch, the Bible said she did not only open, but broke the jar and began to pour the thick, syrupy ointment all out into Jesus' head and hair. I imagine a lot of stunned silence around the table at that moment. Some were asking themselves if they had really seen with their own eyes what it was they thought they had seen. Some were wondering who this woman was. Some who had a growing beef with Jesus and probably also with women chastised her for what they called this waste. But then Jesus chastised them. He told them not to scorn this woman, for she had done, quote unquote, a good, some translations read, beautiful thing for him, he said. She has anointed my body before its burial, he told them. Thus then we come to the crux of the story. Jesus does not have long to live. The powers that be in Jerusalem have marked him for death. Soon some from his own inner circle, those at that very same dinner party, will betray him. Jesus knows that his days are numbered and that his death is imminent. And this nameless woman from the streets, knows it too. And though she is powerless to stop it from happening, nevertheless, she does something very good and very beautiful in the face of something very ugly and very evil. Jesus will soon be betrayed. She knows she cannot stop that, so she does the one thing that she can do. She brings the scent of flowers. And as a last gesture of love and respect before Jesus walks the valley of the shadow of death, she anoints his head with oil. And Jesus tells them they dare not criticize her for her actions. For she has done a beautiful thing, he says, something that would always be remembered because, he says, she did what she could. I have a friend whose grandfather had two wives, not concurrently. One died, and then he married the other. And eventually, all three were buried together under one headstone. The marker for the first wife reads, she was loved by all. And the marker for the second wife reads, she hath done what she could. Some of us know that woman. There is so much in this world sometimes that we are so powerless to do anything about. There is ugliness and brutality and cancer and depression and grief upon grief and war upon rumor of war. Some things in this world we simply cannot stop, poor and powerless as we sometimes are. But the point of this message this morning is to say, we do what we can. We do good however it is that we are able. We bring the beautiful wherever it is that we are. As an old book that was popular when I was in high school said, we do random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty because those are the things that we can do. We send flowers to the funeral. We cut flowers for the table at the agape meal. We do a load of laundry for the homebound. We write a card of condolence to a couple who has lost their only son. We call someone whom we know is hurting. We put prayer cards on the pillows in the activity center where the homeless are sleeping. We bring art into ugly places. We sing songs of hope in despairing spaces. We pay for a harp to be played beside the bed of a dying person. We make chalk art outside the gates of a private prison. We shave our heads in solidarity with a friend with cancer. We hold the hand of a friend for whom we don't have the answer. We do what we are able. We anoint with what we've got. We honor and resist with whatever it is that we have, and we pour out our fragrance of love and respect however it is that we can. As said Mother Teresa, who knew a thing or two about anointing bodies before they died, not all of us can do great things, but we can all do some small thing with great love. Small, random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty with great love. Great love. Last week, a homebound member of our church had a wedding anniversary. He wanted to surprise his wife with a bouquet of flowers, but he couldn't drive to the store to get them. So he asked one of our pastors if on her way to the anniversary celebration, she could stop and pick up a spray for his wife for the occasion. Flowers, yes, but just flowers? Hardly. On the east side of town, a couple bought an old abandoned lot and began planting a garden of wildflowers and fresh vegetables amidst a desert of dust. Just flowers, just a garden. No, the first fruits of the garden of a new Eden that is to come one day on earth, even as it is in heaven. When a gay nightclub was attacked a couple of years ago, I took flowers and cards from the staff to the two gay clubs just down the block, you should have seen their shock and their surprised sense of being cared for by the Baptists. The owner of one of the establishments, a former Baptist himself, just melted into tears. We were on the dance floor where I met him, and he just crumbled into me, and I held him there for a moment, and it was a little awkward for just a second. But so beautiful. Just flowers. Last year, my father passed away. And on the day he died, I posted on Facebook about leaving his hospice room and spotting beside the door a peace lily in full radiant bloom. And a couple of days later, a peace lily from the family ministries department here at church arrived on my doorstep. They did what they could. And that was a year ago this week. And I'm glad to say I actually kept that plant alive. A minor miracle for me. And 5 days ago, would you know that those beautiful white blooms on that plant begin flowering once again in the east morning light? More than a plant. More than just flowers, a beautiful thing, a sign of hope, a symbol of love and care, and a reminder of the promise of resurrection. The things we may do seem so small and so insignificant, but there is something wonderful in every single act of beauty. And there is something mighty, mighty powerful in every little drop poured out in great love. And the challenge I would give us this morning is to think of what we can do this week to bring something beautiful and make something lovely in the space of somewhere ugly or in the life of someone or something dying. That is what this woman did at the dinner party. And though she was unnamed, Jesus said she would never be forgotten. For she did what she could, and for that she would always, always be remembered. We always remember what they did. Those who showed up to the funeral, those who sent a card of condolence, those who left flowers, those who dared to show up with bread and wine and a sign with all of the colors of the rainbow, those who sang, "My Jesus, I love thee," at the bedside just before mother breathed her last breath, and those who came to visit and joke with dad just before his death. We remember who they were, and we remember what they did, and so does Jesus remember also. For he says, "When I was sick, you visited me, and when I was thirsty, you brought a swab of cool water for my parched, cracked lips, and when I was dying, you anointed my head with perfumed oil and my body with warm water and soap." we may not be able to stop all of the ugliness and death in this world. Some things we simply cannot change. But we can do what we can. And in the great, great mystery of our faith, God transfigures all of the ugliness and death of this world through the simplest acts of love and beauty and the fragrance of a flower. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say, Amen.